Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me for the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. These hours fly by. We'll give a shout-out this morning to Brianna. Hello, Brianna. Hello, Jason. Can you believe a pizza vending machine? Pizza in 3 minutes, as if 30 minutes was not enough. Oh, my goodness. Happy Father's Day to our fathers who missed the first hours. I wish you a happy Father's Day today. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio and the Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and again, Pat Hamilton is joining me in the studios. Well, I'm telling you, this is exciting days. As you read the Word of God, everything's taking place so quickly. You know what that means, Pat?
What's that?
That our redemption draws nigh. I mean, imagine this. Imagine that you know that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that we're going to be out of here, and our bodies will be glorified. In other words, our body will be right. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Totally healed.
Yeah, no more popping noises and all that kind of stuff. You know, and then we're with the Lord forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, he says, just like a twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
I mean, boom, and we're just there. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's building a mansion for us. Yeah, you know, and he wants to be with us, and we want to be with him, and that it's forever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not only that you know, if for whatever reason, you know, if our life's come to an end as believers, if we know Jesus Christ, if we accepted him as the Lord of our life, and he's the Lord of our life, mm-hmm. you know, then we have nothing to dread about that, because, you know, Paul said if we're only living for this life alone, we should be pitied more than anybody else. It has nothing to do with this life.
That's right.
You know, it has to do with the life that's coming. So if we were to pass, mm-hmm. then we would be with God.
That's right.
Forever. You know, if you didn't listen to 90 Minutes in Heaven, you got to listen to it. You can go to the VFN TV highlights. And, you know, Don Piper, he had gotten in a car accident, and he died. And immediately mm-hmm. his spirit, man, is a body. He was just full body. Was in heaven, and he describes it, and it's like, oh, even the sound of heaven. But with that, you know, I'm looking right now, and it's going to be on our blog, but it's not on the blog now. But Cooper, you know, we'll give a shout out to Cooper this morning up in Virginia, and to Nicole. But he's 6 years old, I believe.
He's seven.
He's seven. Mm-hmm. 7 years old. And he had a dream, and in this dream, he had a dream about heaven, you know, what heaven looked like. Mm-hmm. Talk to us.
Yeah, he actually had a dream about heaven. I mean, the Lord had just taken him around heaven, and God showed him dogs with wings, and he showed him his mom and his dad was there.
He showed him dogs with wings, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He saw Jesus. He saw God, but he was so bright that he couldn't even look at him. It was so much glory in heaven. He even saw the tree of life. He saw his mom and dad eating from the fruit.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. And
there's a river?
Yeah, there's a river. In the drawing, you'll
see
the river.
I'm looking at the river, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it was real powerful.
You know, children, you know, God reveals himself. You know, unless we become like a child, right? Mm-hmm. He says, can't enter the kingdom of God. I mean, you got to see this. I mean, you see the brilliance, you know, of what a 7-year-old is. I mean, this is just him and God. I mean, how could he even know about, you know, how Revelation of Christ and Book of Revelation tells us.
Yeah, and there's more, actually. He had another dream just mm-hmm. recently about, he saw the New Jerusalem. He said he saw the city coming down.
Oh, my goodness.
It was all gold and everything, so it was powerful. I haven't gotten all the details of it yet, but it was really powerful.
I'm telling you, you know, he says, you know, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams, and everybody will prophesy. And that, listen, I want to encourage you. You know, it's all about being with God. You know, it's all about, it's not, God's not something you do on the side. Mm-hmm. If God to you is something you do on the side, you're not, you know, that ain't a genuine relationship. But if you ever have an abiding relationship with God, he's going to talk to you. He's revealing himself to a 7-year-old child. And I mean, you have believers right now that are listening that couldn't describe heaven to you, but God showed it to Cooper, a 7-year-old. The river's there. I see the tree of life. I see the brightness. I see the angels, you know, everything. And it's just a pleasurable place. You know, we're going to be able to play also Jared, my son, and Amber. Jared had a drink. I gave him a dream about heaven. And they were young, and he showed it. He was very distinctly, you know.
Yeah.
And he's describing it, and Amber's interviewing him because she's like, tell us what it's about. And it's like older tape. But I want to be able to play that too. We love it. We want to hear, you know, how God is speaking to you. You know, we want to be able to. That's what this is all about. Is God loves us, and we love God, and we want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And so that'll be available on the blog today. Probably after today's show, but it's vfntv.com, and just go to the blog there as well. Well, you know, when you are seeing, I don't know if you've seen these masks out there that, you know, the people that are on the streets that are protesting, some people, not everybody, but some of them put a mask on. And that mask, you know, it just, you know, it's like a mask. Mm-hmm. But it actually symbolizes something. Mm-hmm. There's a particular man by the name of Guy Fox, but it's F-A-U-K-E-S, that you know, he had some issues with the government, and he thought the government was going the wrong way. This is like back in, you know, 1570, you know.
Oh, wow.
And so he developed a plot where he was going to take gunpowder, and he was going to pack it up under Parliament, and with that, he was going to try to damage or destroy Parliament. That's what he's trying to do. And so he was packing gunpowder. Think about it. All this gunpowder was being stuck under there, and he was going to light it, and it didn't happen because they caught him. And when they caught him, they stopped his planned attempt. But you understand that when somebody's wearing a mask like that, when they're wearing a mask that represents that, that's what's on their heart to do. That's what's being said, you know. And sometimes, you know, threats are made and it never happens, and sometimes it does happen. But it's not just a mask. It represents Guy Fox. And so with that, God speaks to somebody about that and gives them a dream. And the dream that he gives her about it is they're putting this mask on. Now, she didn't know about the mask. She didn't know the history about the mask. She's just hearing what God's saying. And when she shares her dream with me, then I'm able to tell her, you know, this is what's happening, and this is the symbol. And and so, you know, so she sees this. She, in this dream, she's seeing these people orchestrate a group of people, and they would tell these people, okay, now put on the mask. And they would all put the mask on. And it's actually this mask, the Guy Fox mask. And then they would take it off. And they'd say, take it off. And they kind of did that a couple of times. And so it was kind of like, okay, you know, it's just whatever. And there's other details of this, but we're just talking about, you know, what spirit is over the land right now. And finally, they put it on for another time. And this time when they put it on, it permanently affixes to their face. They can't take it off. It's no longer just a mask. Oh, wow. They took it on. Mm-hmm. They took it on.
Wow.
You know, and what that means is, you know, that, you know, you have people that are playing around with sin, for example, like Samson was playing around with sin, but he just continued to mess around. And eventually God just turned him over to that. And what's going to happen is, you know, unless we repent, and it's the church that needs to repent, that, it's going to take over the mindsets of people, and they're going to go that direction, just become that thing. You can't play with sin and not become it. You're going to have to actually, it'll eventually birth death in you.
Mm-hmm.
And, So in this prophetic prophecy that we're talking about right here, when you see this mask, what it represents the movement. The movement is a movement by second heaven. It's really not about people in general, because if you interview the people that are on the streets, they really don't have a set vision for what they're doing. But there's other people that are involved. They have a set vision. They have a goal in mind. And their goal is to be able to flip, you know, a country, to flip a nation, and to flip a government like Fox was. Mm-hmm. And so they were being orchestrated in this dream by somebody. And we got a lot of things to share with you. God is revealing the strategies of the adversary. And the key to it is not coming against people. The key to it is you, the church, repenting. Because if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And if you're listening, if you have a radio, we have a big turn to make. Mm-hmm. We have a big ship to turn. We can't just go like, okay, you know, I'm going to go to church and that's repent. Dang, you know, yeah. First of all, you can't go to what you are. All you can do is truly be. It's beginning to quit setting aside God's commands for men's traditions and saying, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to just go God's way and believe that God's going to empower me to do that. Even if I make a mistake, I'm still going to stay in there and say that God's right and let every man be a liar. And so if we don't repent, if the church does not wake up and turn its heart back to God, you know, and to our God, then the people of the land, this whole thing is just going to take over at some point. And they're thinking, you know, most people are thinking, oh, it's just a mask. They're going to do what they did last time. But all of a sudden, it just happens, and they can't take it off. It's just like, okay, this is it. The gateway happens. Second heaven, you know, second heaven, we always say second heaven because we just don't like to give a lot of credit to what Satan's doing. But just second heaven is, you know, where there's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and powers and principalities and evil spirits. And so, and what happens is, you know, somebody who has an open door in their life, who is an unrepented of sin, somebody who just doesn't even know God, is that second heaven cannot really do anything unless it inhabits authority, a person's body. It has mm-hmm. to actually use people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so understanding that first of all, for yourself, you know, you need to understand that if you have any open doors in your life and empty houses, as we call it, open doors like sin that you haven't dealt with yet, mm-hmm. and you know it's sin, you know, you're sticking with the sin, you're not repenting of it, that's an open door. And when you have an open door, you know, what can come through the door, Pat, an open door?
Anything.
So you're thinking that you're going to choose what comes through that door.
Yeah.
Like they did in this dream, but it's just, you don't know what's going to come through the door. Mm-hmm. And it's in all of us to do anything outside of God. And of course, an empty house is somebody that, you know, is a believer who gave their life to God, but they didn't ever get discipled. They didn't ever put any truth in them. They didn't fill their heart with what was right. And, and then the storm comes and everything, you know, crumbles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And understand that we need to close our doors and empty our houses. You can find out a teaching on VFN TV. It's entitled Deliver Us from the Evil One. You know, God actually asked us to ask him to deliver us from the evil one. And that's available to for all subscribers, and subscriptions free at VFNTV.com. But you want to know, I mean, there's such an anointing on this teaching that when it was being broadcasted over VFN TV, that there was a man that was taken captive by second heaven, and he wasn't even connected. You know, he was asleep. He was asleep. But when it broadcast, when it was playing on VFN TV, mm-hmm. and there was people watching, you know, the TV, at one point there, the anointing just drops, and the devil who had this guy, mm-hmm. literally, if he just sat straight up, didn't he? He sat straight up.
Yeah.
And it just left him. It went. So he looked at it, and it just shot out of his body.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, everybody was amazed. Yeah. He went from a dead sleep.
Yeah.
That the power in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, he says these signs will follow those that believe in the name of Jesus. You will cast out demons.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. You know. And so I want to encourage you. You know, you don't want to be talking about anybody else's demons if you hadn't dealt with your own.
Well, no, that was right.
You know, I remember, Young Yi Cho was talking about, you know, in Korea in his church, he had two of his, I believe it was deacons beside him on both sides of him, and he's confronting somebody with some demonic influence in their life, and that was held captive, and he's, you know, rebuking the devil, and the devil talks back to him, and to this person, and says, "You're trying to deal with me." He said, "That one over there is stealing money, and this one over here is in adultery."
Oh, wow.
You know, and it's like, yeah. it's like, we have to understand the world is, America's in the condition that it is in because the church, we, the church, we've sinned. We've fallen short. We've replaced God's simple commands. It's not that complicated.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's pretty, you know, you got to be really religious and really, constructive to come outside what God's, how God says things should be. But the truth is, if you look at the word and you look at family, you look at marriage, you look at parenting, you look at the children, and this, I'm talking about the church, not talking about the world. I'm not talking about people who does it. They don't want to walk with God. They don't know God's ways. We're talking about the people who profess to be Christians,
right?
You know, who follow the Lord, and that God has some simple things about. I mean, it's very clear. You know, Mark Twain says, it's not the things in God's word I don't understand that bothers me. It's the things that I do understand.
Right.
And Jesus said, you know, that he's talking to the religious people that day, the people who were saying that they were the ones delivering the message of God. And Jesus said, listen, he said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And he says, when it says plainly that you're supposed to honor your father and your mother, in which I want to encourage you, these are the words of Jesus in Father's Day this weekend. He says, when I tell you plainly, or you're told plainly that you're supposed to honor your mother and your father, but you say to those people, instead of honoring their mother and father, and they needed to take care of something that their parents had financially, that you said, hey, you know, you need to give it, you know, for this cause. We're building a new wing on the whatever. Or we are doing something. And so they could have, you know, obviously the tithes and the offerings belong to God, but you don't promote not taking care of your family. You know what I'm saying? You honor your father and your mother. And so he said, you set aside my commands. You set aside the commands of God for the traditions of men, and you make my word, or make the word of God, of non-effect. Mm-hmm. You nullify its power. And then he goes, oh, and you do many things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've done that. I mean, so these things that are taking place in society right now, if we will get our act together, if we will just say, okay, God, this is what you said, but I'm going to move away from all this religious jargon. This is how marriage is supposed to be. This is for my part in the marriage, I'm going to do it. And just because you're walking with God and you're going to, you know, obey God doesn't mean anybody else will. But, you know, God's only going to hold you accountable for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty clear how things, you know, are laid out. And begin to walk that. If we'll do that, then God will honor that up and deliver us and deliver the people. And a healthy America will be a byproduct of a church to actually obey God. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Because
awesome. He said, then I'll hear from heaven and heal the land.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just amazing. So I want to encourage you, we cannot sit here and watch the news and point our finger at the world, realizing they're only living out the consequences of our own behavior as the church. And you can find out more about that at Is America Under God's Judgment? You know, is it under God's judgment? And we just present the evidence. It's at VFNTV.com right now. You don't have to be a subscriber for it. So this mask I was talking about, this Guy Fawkes mask, it represents what happened back in 1570. He was a minister, by the way. He was a minister. And wow. Guy Fawkes was, you know, and that's how he felt like he was going to fix things. And obviously, we weren't there, but we're just, you know, reading history about him.
Mm.
But the mask being worn today. So in the prophetic dream was, you know, as it was being shared with me, you know, she had no idea that that's what it represented. And and she's telling me the dream. And so what I did was immediately God gives me a word of knowledge, and I actually send her a picture of the mask,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she was like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's what's going on. And we have so many more things that we want to be able to share with you about that. Listen, God's aware of what's going on. The only reason that you won't be aware of what's going on is because you refuse to listen, you know, or you're in darkness. But I'll tell you right now, you can make a decision and say, you know what? I'm going to quit all this religious stuff. I'm going to quit paying these concepts of penances and just follow Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And you can do that. And you can do that by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord, making him the Lord of your life, not saying just a prayer. It's not about an altar call, which is cool. An altar call or a moment to say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior is a point of a decision that begins to walk out in your life. And then you begin to bear fruit. And in that, we also have for you called the cross of Christ. You'll understand by understanding what Jesus did on the cross of Christ, how you'll be empowered, because God's asked us to do something that we really can't do outside the empowerment of Jesus Christ, but we can do it when we actually abide with Jesus, you know? Mm. And so, I just want to encourage you, if the first thing you want to do is get right with God. Get right with God. It's just suddenly, isn't it? It's just what God's showing us. It's just suddenly. And if it happened at this moment, we would not be surprised. And we have some wonderful things to be able to help you out to be prepared and for whatever period of time it's going to be. Some great wisdom and some information there. But we'll be right back after this message. You know, there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. You know, that's what people go, yes. And then the politically correct answer, another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. But the thing is about it is that it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But, you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, that he's a lover of your soul and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom and we're the bride and this intimacy and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him. Right. And it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that, he says, remain or abide in me. I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
A lot of times, too, that you ask, you know, a believer or a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just got to do this chore, all right?
Two chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, 2 chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's my sheep know my voice. And that's an inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
when you think about it, I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, it's not, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's a living word, that it comes with the author and that God explains it to you and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this. And the enemy's kind of complicated it, you know what I'm saying? And it just, you know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you know, you can just put all this stuff aside that you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. He says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org, you know, read over a little bit. And if you want to be able to request that plan, you can just request the plan. It'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, a whole, everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple, simple plan that we're seeing children, eight-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God and just so excited because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you, you continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right?
Hmm.
And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him. And you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there, iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org. There also, I want to remind everybody that you can get VFN Radio, VFN TV, on your mobile device. If you're not listening to us right now on your mobile device, it's pretty cool. John, get this. Pat, get this.
Talk to us.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I am riding my motorcycle. I am riding my motorcycle. Actually, I had a moment of time. It was a slender moment, but I ran out of my office and I jumped on my bike and getting away. And I put the safety gear on. There's no seatbelt on a motorcycle, so you just kind of hold on and Jesus holds you on to the thing. And I'm listening. I have my iPhone earbuds in my ear. You know. And I have it, my iPhone's turned to VFN radio, and I'm listening because it's 24-hour broadcast. You know, we record live. Right now, it's live when you're hearing us. If you're hearing us between the 9 a.m. and the 11 a.m. Central Hour, but you can hear the same program all day long because we have so many different time zones all the way over to Yulong in China that he's listening to it, and Israel and Malawi and just all over the world. And so it plays all, so we'll have 2 hours live, but then it will play. So I was able to get on my bike, push a simple button on my application on my iPhone, and be encouraged by VFN Radio. So I'm riding my bike, man. It's just a good thing. It's a really good thing. God's good. God's good. And so I'm riding it, and I'm listening to an encouraging word. You know, one of the teachings actually is what I'm listening to off of the application that you can listen to them, which is Desperate for God's Glory. As a matter of fact, that's going to be available really soon. And, wow. You know, Desperate for God's Glory. I'm just so excited about that. Hopefully it'll be up this week. But I'm listening to it and I'm just thinking, oh man, this is just perfect. I'm driving out into the wilderness. I'm going out to like this long country road, man. It's just like, at first I was like, this is great. Oh, actually, it was like Spring Lake area. Do you remember Spring Lake back in Florida when we had the father and son camping trip at Spring Lake? But I was riding my motorcycle, and I'm going down past that Spring Lake area. And so this is the unknown territory. I'm driving my bike, and I've never really actually, because, you know, it's new to me. My neighbor, you know, blessed me with this bike, and it was just really cool. I probably wouldn't have got one from anybody else other than him. And so I haven't ridden on soft dirt roads before, sandy roads. And so I'm paying close attention, you know, because I'm out there and I'm listening to VFN radio. My helmet's on. I got a face protection on and all that. So I can't really see what's going on. And the sand's getting softer and softer and softer. And all of a sudden, it's going through this wooded area. And I'm thinking, you know, what am I doing? You know, I'm not that talented. I'm not able to turn this thing around. I'm going to get this thing in the sand. All these thoughts are crossing my head. And so then I passed this old, it looked like petticoat junction house. I don't know. Y'all can't relate to that. Some just old wooden.
Like a little house on the prairie?
Yes, kind of, but it had a porch on it, you know, and okay. It was up. And they were sitting on this big chair, and this man was on this, sitting here, rocking back and forth, and had his big dog, and had a pig. This pig was so big; it must have been 1,000 pounds, man. It looked like a little small mountain there, you know. I didn't realize it had a nose for a moment. I thought it was just a hill or something. And then I'm passing slowly, and I'm looking at him, and I didn't look to the right. And I realized once I passed it that there was a sign there. So now I'm caught between barbed wire fence, going down this road, passing pigs and chickens and goats, and also the past this man on this porch up here. I'm thinking I'm on his property. I'm probably on his property. I am on soft sand. I am between barbed wire fence. I'm passing goats and pigs and chickens and stuff. I don't know who's on this front porch. You might be drawing down on me any time right now. I got real playing in my ears. And now I'm realizing I might be in trouble. And so I kind of turn my bike. I can't turn it around because I'm stuck between the barbed wire fence. And I'm going down through the woods now, and I passed all that farm area. I'm thinking, well, I don't know. And I start thinking, I might not make it out of here. So I pull them earphones out. I'm thinking, I have never been out in this country area. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? Remember it? Remember, John? Remember that?
You might need your bulletproof vest to get out there.
I know. And so then I keep driving. I pull the earbuds down. Like, I got to hear what's going on. I pull my face mask up. I'm looking around thinking anytime something can happen out here. I'm pulling. I don't know. I just didn't know where I was. And then all of a sudden, man, after just continuing to ride, I came out on this beautiful lake. It's a river out there. It's called Beck's Lake. And it was just beautiful, man. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, I would have never known that. And so I show up, I'm gonna park my bike, take off all my gear. You know, it's in Florida. It was hot. And, I go down, there was a fire burning. There was tents out, but there was nobody there. And they were gone, you know, I guess. As I'm walking, there's fishing poles in the water. And so I'm walking out, and I'm sitting on this bench or something that's out there by the water. Just beautiful, beautiful. And then my mind starts thinking, I wonder why there's nobody here. Why is there a fire burning and why are these fishing poles still in the water? I'm thinking,
see,
oh my goodness,
that's almost just as good as, you know, trying to walk at night in certain parts of the Bronx. You know, I'm like, okay,
yeah, well, kind of like it. So I was sitting there, and so my mind, you know, of course, the adversary is there to kind of fill us in on what's going on, saying that they're probably all dead, and you just walked into a murder scene. And so then, you know, I think this is right behind Pat's house. I'm messing with you. We're just having a good time today. But anyway, so I got out there. I sat on this bench, and it's just beautiful. I took some pictures, and I'm thinking, you know, I had a meeting scheduled with one of the ministers in BFN. And so I'm calling him up, and I'm telling him, or texting him, because he's at work, and I say, hey, you got to meet me here. I'm thinking, I don't even know where here is, you know. And so I did the GPS thing, I copied the link, I sent it, and all of a sudden these sailors showed up. They went to go get some firewood or whatever. We're nice guys, and they'd spent the night there, and it's just a beautiful place out there. And but then I realized after about 5 minutes, every living flying creature was flying, biting me. I was getting things in my ears, things in my eyes. I mean, they were all over me. So I looked at these sailors, you know. And I said, how do you stop these bugs from biting you? Though that you don't stop them. You know, I'm thinking like, I'm out of here. You know, so I got back on my bike and took off. But the big thing I was talking about with all this is that I had a bike. No, it was the fact that I was listening to VFN radio because I have a mobile application. If you want to be that mobile, no matter where you're going, you can download the VFN TV app. Either search for it in iTunes store, search for it in the Android store, or just go to your browser on your phone and type in VFNTV.com and just follow the instructions. Listen, there's nothing about, no matter where you go, even to this wild place in the wilderness, you still can listen to VFN TV, VFN radio, no matter where you go. Oh my goodness. That was just a wonderful, I just love riding. I love riding my bike. It's just such a gift. There's nothing like, we spend all of our time, you know, under something or under a roof or under the roof of a car, home, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, just God's creation. It's just beautiful. Totally beautiful. You know, John was talking this week. Yeah. I guess it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, you know, is he taller than Jared, you know, my son? You know, Jared's like 6 foot a million.
Yeah.
And if you see Jared, that's what groceries look like.
Lots
but
of them.
It just so happens we want you to be able to tell us which one is actually taller or not. You may need your ruler, I don't know, but you can go to the VFN TV blog at vfntv.com and click over in the blog, and you have Jared and John standing side by side, and you can just let us know. And you see two pictures right there. I'm not going to give it away. But it could be kind of obvious to you, but I'm not really sure right there. But you can go to the VFN TV blog at vfntv.com. There's this artist that was introduced to me by Marjane, Julia True. I think it's Julie True. And I just love, it's just an awesome, she's just, look at this gift, you know. As a matter of fact, I want to play a little piece of it here. Just listen to how awesome this is, how it just touches your heart. And I'm playing this right off of the VFN TV blog, so you can go there and get it. I'm looking at a beautiful view of the ocean. It's just beautiful, beautiful. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. More of your presence, God. More, Lord. More, Jesus. Worshiping with me for a moment. Just worship it just for a moment. We love you, Jesus. Just like Cooper. This morning, don't let him tell you elsewise. Let anybody in the world tell you elsewise. He loves you. You've got a plan for your life.
Smile and love. A steady gaze. Looking into my eyes.
Worship him this morning. That's the presence of the Lord that you're feeling this very moment. That's His presence. It's the glory.
I feel heaven.
That's the glory that we talked about on the Marine's face. In that tunnel of affirmation.
Your arms around me.
We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Encourage you this morning. Everything's going to be all right. You can see that or actually get that on the VFN TV blog. There's just nothing about releasing your spirit. You know, you got to, everything's going to be all right. As a matter of fact, there's a link to her website where you can actually purchase many of her her ministry. You know, as she's worshiping, there's nothing that release of that worship. And Lord Jesus, we just love you this morning. We thank you, God, that we can sleep in the bottom of the boat of our present circumstances, that we can just relax. And you have even the storms listen to you. When everybody's worried about the storm, Lord, and they're seeing the financial clouds and even they're prognosticating about what's taking place, and even the true prophets that are saying this is what's going to happen, even in the midst of that, these financial storms and job loss storms and relationship storms and ministry storms, that you're in control. Even the storms listen to you. Even the storms listen to you. So I want to encourage you this morning that as you're spending your day and being busy about your work and focus on the Lord. Realize it's okay. Everything's going to be all right. Every bit of it's going to be all right. You can find out more about Julie True on the VFN TV blog, on the VFN TV blog at VFNTV.com, and just click on our blog right there. Well, we do have a moment we're going to talk about original intent. We always talk about, we try to during the week, about original intent of the church and the original intent of America, you know, two forms of original intent. And we've been staying a lot on the original intent of America because, you know, we might not have it if we don't find out what did they plan, what was their meaning, you know. And if you haven't heard them, go back and listen to the highlights. Listen to George Washington. I mean, this is more than a man on your dollar bill. This is more than the first president of the United States, because there would have been no president, no need for a president, if it wasn't for General George Washington and this man who stood with such integrity. And you can find out more about that on the VFNTV.com or on your application, VFNTV app, and go to highlights. You know, and talking about George Washington in there. But, you know, we in America, you know, a lot of people, Pat, they say we're a democracy, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just kind of accepted. The word has been used over and over again so many times, and that's kind of how things work. If you go back and study, you know, how things transition, and they have people that they send out in history that would just start talking to people and giving them the new way of thinking. And once you get it into people, and they say if you hear it seven times, you know, you pretty much kind of, it becomes normal for you, even though it's abnormal.
Right.
And we know that's how God's designed us, that if we can believe something, and if we can see it in our heart, and if we'll speak it, because we're creative beings, you know, it'll come to pass. So the enemy knows he has to convince mankind that mankind has to buy into the scheme. He has to buy into the scheme. You can't just force a man against his will. I mean, you may have him. It reminds me of the mother and her son was, you know, gathered at a church gathering, and the little boy was standing up on the pew, and the mother tells the boy, sit down, and he didn't sit down, and tells him again, sit down, he didn't sit down, and finally she reached over and she just pinched the stew out of him, you know. He's like, ah, and so he sat down, and then he looked at her and said, well, I want you to know I'm standing up on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, and it matters what's happening on the inside.
That's right.
And so we have to if they want to do something with mankind, you'll notice they first have to actually begin to talk to them. You have to take and listen to what somebody's actually, and that's why it's important what you're listening to, by the way. You don't need to just, that's why we have VFN Radio, so you can be encouraged. You want to hear, you know, God's perspective. You want to hear what's going on, but you want to hear God's perspective of it, God's word's perspective of it. And so you'll find out that the media, you'll find a message, a steady stream of media. And right now you're kind of seeing the governments partnering with different media sources, and they're getting a new message out. They're messaging over the people, you know, different things, and there's a purpose to it. You know, you can find out, we'll be sharing some more things about this with you, but in that, you can change the people if you just keep talking to them about what's going on, and they'll start believing wrong is right and right is wrong. And so what we stay in the word to make sure we know what's right. Well, you know, we're not a democracy, you know, we're a republic. You know, if you can read the Federalist Papers, which are really, I would say they're boring, but they're factual. And sometimes, you know, when you talk about manuals, you know, men aren't necessarily good at reading manuals all the time, even though they write them.
Yeah.
That men and women write them. That the original intent for our nation was a republic, because a democracy, you know, has to do with majority rules. Like if 51% of the people, you know, say this is how it is, that's how it is. I mean, that means that if you are a teacher and you're in a classroom, mm-hmm. and you have 30 students, and if that right. was a democracy, yeah. then I doubt very seriously that it's going to go the teacher's way.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's a republic. You put her in there, or him in there as a representative, and this is how it's going to go. She's not going to take a vote how things are going to go like that. And so mm-hmm. what we do with our government, and I'm going to do my best to do this, and we're going to have more available for you on our VFN TV blog, but a republic is where you have representative government, that we elect people to go to different offices to represent us in our districts. They don't go there to run the country per se. They go there to find out what's happening and report it back to the people. And then the people of that country say, okay, this is the way you kind of need to go with it. And then they go back to, they represent that people base, whether it's a senator or a republic or a senator or congressman, state legislature, whatever it is. And that's how it's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference in that, because if they're not representing that particular part of the community, right, they'll just replace them, you know, and put somebody else that represents this representative government. And in that we have the electoral colleges and different things, how we select presidents. But understanding that, then I guess laziness, we talked about, you know, early on in one of our words of wisdom about, you know, diligence and laziness. With a republic government, you have to be active. You got to know what's going on. And the one who's representing you in your area of the nation, wherever you are in America, they have to come back and talk to you about the issues and what's happening. And y'all need to dialogue back and forth. You know, George Washington called it the battle of ideas. And so with that, it requires you have to block some time in your life to say, you know what, I'm going to be involved in government, because America is by the people and for the people, which means you as a citizen, according to the design and the original intent of this nation, are supposed to be involved in the day-to-day practices and decision making that takes place. And the ones that whoever you send to represent you in Congress or in Senate, that they're supposed to come back to you and talk to you and kind of tell you what's going on and share with you, not to direct you, but so you can give input back to them and they can go back and represent you. It's a representative type form of government. Democracy is, you just got to get enough people to agree with you no matter what it is, and you get it, it happens. Mm-hmm. It's important to know the difference. First of all, if you're not a democracy, you need to know you're not. If you think right. you should have one, you need to say, presently we're a republic and we need to switch to democracy.
Right.
But if you're a republic and you're saying you're a democracy, then people, if they buy into democracy, they'll start acting like it's a democracy and they won't get involved, and they'll think, oh, it looks like the majority of the people are going this way, and they'll just surrender their nation over to a whole new form of not original intent. Mm-hmm. And so the goal was for a representative to come from your region, your community, your state, and spend a little time in passing your viewpoints off to the direction of our nation and where we're going. Now it's actually turned into a career. It's turned into big government. I think it's like 48% now of the tax dollar goes to supportive things in the government. And once it goes over 50%, you know, that's not going to be good. It may be there now as we're speaking. Mm-hmm. But we're not a democracy. And so it's not about crowd rule. It's about our form of government. And so knowing that in the original intent that we have, if George Washington and all the ones who stood shoulder to shoulder to fight for our country, and there's some pretty awesome dudes that did this, you know, you'll be really proud of these guys. And their grave losses and all the things that they went through. And you can find out about that, like I said, on the highlights. But But we have to get involved. And so they're supposed to talk to you. They're supposed to, you don't feel intimidated to talk to your representative. Don't be intimidated to ask them questions. Don't be intimidated to just proclaim your faith and ask them where they stand in their faith and ask them if they're a praying man or a praying woman, you know, and how they feel about God's way of doing family. I mean, we need to turn things around, but if we don't understand we're a republic, you know, we won't think we can turn things around. But when you realize, wait a minute, they're just representing us, and if this is the way that we think the country should go, then we tell our representative this is how we want it to go. And then it goes that way. Or you replace that particular representative with somebody who has the same values, you know, and godly values. And God's very specific about family and parenting and work and all these different things. And you can actually have a representative in your district or whoever it is, you know, that agrees with your value systems, the values of the Lord, you know, how things should be operated. And we're not saying government, it should be a theocracy. Mm-hmm. But the fact is you can have a believer who loves God, who is a godly person, not just a quote Christian, but he or she's a godly person, mm-hmm. and they're convicted. Their convictions say no matter what, you know, it's got to go this way, even if it's not popular.
Right.
And it can take that. It could turn around if you knew the original intent. And so they wrote the Federalist Papers, and the Federalist Papers, you know, it's sort of like these letters they were writing back and forth in the newspaper, but they were using pen names where nobody knew who they were. And they're just kind of, you know, putting the message out and getting some ideas about it. And of course, prior to that, you know, you had, it was under, you know, America was under Great Britain, you know, it was called New England, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's where New England comes from. It's not clam chowder. And, Georgia, the state Georgia comes from King George. That's the name of King George.
Oh, wow.
And so they're writing kind of covertly back and forth about these ideas and these concepts about, you know, federal government, you know, what federal, you know, what is it like and versus a democracy. And they knew that government should be like they designed it in the Constitution. It should be something that you can't just ramrod anything through because, you know, as a representative government and the balance of powers where you have the executive branch, which would be the president, and you have the legislature branch, which would be the Senate and the Congress, and then you have the judiciary branch, the Supreme Court. And each of these have equal powers. They're just as equal as the other one. Mm-hmm. And so the executive branch can't just push something through. They got to get with the people called Congress, and they got to talk with them because they represent you. They have to listen. It's not about Congress in itself as much as it's about you. Mm-hmm. They need to sit down and listen to what you're telling your representative to say to the president, for example.
Right.
And that's why he or she, you know, has to meet with Congress. Because Congress is your representative government. So but when they say, I am not going to work with Congress, they're saying, I am not going to work with you because Congress represents you. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the representatives, for example, congressmen, you know, they're based on population of a state. Mm-hmm. And so if you have more people in your state, you actually have more representatives there. It's representative government. But every state only has two senators, no matter how many people you have. And so with that, this representative government is why things need to go into Congress first, because they're talking about you. Congress is saying, let me tell you what my district represents, what they want. And so, but if you're not talking to your congresswoman or congressman, they don't know. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand that they represent you. We're a representative government. We're not a democracy. By being silent when another branch of government goes to meet with the Congress, for example, or Senate, they're not going to have your feelings, your mindset about it, what you think, how you think it should go. Therefore, you're not in the negotiation. You're not in the direction. And, you know, and George Washington said it, you know, America is a land ruled by laws, and that it's the battlefield of ideas. And so you have to begin to talk to your representatives and tell them, like, this is, you know, and we really need to do this. This is part of repentance. We need to have somebody sit down, and it could be the American Family Association, I don't know, but write out a whole a foundation of family, you know, what God says about family. And the first thing we have to do before we give it to anybody, we got to check ourselves and make sure we got to first repent. You know, it's like, okay, God, I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better mother. Our marriage is going to be like you said. It's going to be, God. And then present that to your children and hope that your children are going to respond to it as well. And then you present that, as a people in your community to your legislature. You present it to him or her, and you meet with them, and you say, this is what we, the people who you represent, we want you to bring up when laws are being made. And we want the laws to reflect that allows us as believers of Jesus Christ to be free, like the First Amendment says, to be able to have a marriage the way God says it needs to be, and be able to raise our children the way God says it is going to be, and that the government won't interfere with that. And so they can actually go and represent you, and that would be it.
Right.
And then you're looking for candidates. We have the elections coming up, and we have the primaries. And remember, I always want to say this, the primaries is like showing you the whole menu. If you wait for the main election, it's like everybody else is going to pick what you're going to get. You're going to be able to eat between A or B, but you're only going to have two choices if you wait to the main election. But if you show up at the primaries, you're going to have all these choices that you can talk to, and you can interview, and you can ask what their values are. Have your values drawn out. You can go to our VFN-TV blog and look for wall builders there, and you click on their site. They have some voters' guides and different things that are there that kind of, on all the people running who filled out the voters' value guides, it lets you know their values. But ask yourself, spend some time with God before you pull the lever and abiding and interview them, and then go vote according to your convictions. Not American convictions, because, the church is all across, we love America and we stand with America.
Mm-hmm.
But it's convictions, our convictions for God, that we stand with God. And since we have a representative government, the nation can go the way of the Lord if we, as the people, stand up and say, hey, we want you to represent us right. And if they don't represent you, it's not wrong for you to want to run for office. It's not wrong for you to say, well, we appreciate your term, but we're going to find somebody to run in that place that, or some people to run that place that agree with our values. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I remember one particular man that's running for office. It was so interesting what he said. It's like kind of just hit you, but it's like, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. He looked at a particular person that was running for office, and he said, well, I was going to run, but now you're running, I'm not going to run. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to support you as long as I can support you. When I can't support you anymore, I'm going to run against you.
Right.
That's kind of like a lingering, like, oh, my goodness.
Right.
And but that's not wrong. It's not wrong to want to lead. It's not wrong in America. This is God gave us the original tent of this country. Our founding fathers is the Constitution. That's why they want to change the Constitution, and we talk about that continually. It's not wrong for you to say, hey, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm going to stand up, for marriage. I'm going to stand up for family. I'm going to stand up for fathers. I'm going to stand up, for children. I'm going to stand up, in God's perspective of things. And so I want to encourage you that, get involved. Realize the original intent is a republic. A republic is a representative government. We're not a democracy. It's not about getting, a half of America plus 1% to buy into something. It's about all of our representative government coming together on a battlefield of ideas who are representing you because you got informed in the issues and you voted them in and you sent them there and your expectations, and don't even worry about it. You pick the phone up, you get your emails out or whatever, and you say, my expectation of you is to do what you said you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do it. You can either change what you're doing now, or we can change who's representing us. It's not a negative thing.
Right.
They understand that. They understand what they're doing. We don't understand that as a people. So I want to encourage you that, get involved. Our country weighs in the balance. And don't forget, too, this If My People Pray 2012.org, a 40-day time of prayer and fasting is going to be happening there. Pray. We're going to need to pray and ask God to give us wisdom for that. God bless you. Can you believe that we're coming now to the actual end of the extra hour? Oh, my goodness. Well, God bless you. We'll be seeing you Monday. Happy Father's Day out there to all the fathers. Truly, Jesus is Lord. God bless you.